On today's KHSU Magazine, we're talking with Laura Allen of Greywater Action. Laura is the author of Greywater Green Landscape, and she's here because the Salmonid Restoration Federation and the Watershed Fund is holding a Greywater workshop, installation demonstration, and a book signing with Laura this Saturday in Bayside. Thanks so much for joining us, Laura.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It sounds like you've got a really interesting workshop coming up on Saturday, but can you start first by telling us what Greywater is?
Yeah, Greywater is water that you've used in your home. It comes from your showers, your sinks, and your washing machine. So it's not the toilet. It's kind of like everything else that you've maybe is a little bit dirty, has a little soap in it. But so long as you're using the right kind of soaps, it's a great source of irrigation for your plants. So you can just redirect that water outside, follow some basic guidelines, and irrigate your landscape in the summer.
Tell us about redirecting that water. What would be a typical gray water system installation? Like, I know people are going to get a chance to see that firsthand on Saturday, but how does it work?
Yeah, there's many different kinds of systems, and I'll describe my favorite, and that tends to be the simplest and easiest to do, and it's the one we're doing on Saturday. It's called a laundry-to-landscape system, and what it is you have a washing machine, and your washing machine has a pump in it that pumps out the water, and usually that's pumping it out into a standpipe or a utility sink near the machine, and that goes either to your sewer or septic system. And so with this system, you just take that washer hose, it's connected to your machine, you connect it to a diverter valve, and the diverter valve allows you to control where the water goes. So on one side of the valve, it flows back to the sewer or septic where it was going before, and on the other side, we're going to create a irrigation system that's designed specially for your machine based on how many loads of laundry you do, send it out to your yard to irrigate plants that are suitable for gray water.
So are edible plants suitable for gray water?
Yeah, so what you don't want to water are edible portions of the plant. You don't want the gray water to touch the edible portion, so root vegetables are not suitable. But anything where the food part of the plant is above the ground, like a fruit tree or tomato plant or anything with the food above the ground, your gray water will be going subsurface below the ground, so it won't be able to contact that food. And that's totally suitable.
Okay, so if just in general, how many plants can you water with the water from one load of laundry?
Yeah, great question. And we're going to go over all those details in the workshop. But people, you can imagine... you want to figure out if you have a top-loading machine, which may use about 50 gallons per load, or if you have a very efficient front-loading machine, you'll use a lot less, maybe like 12 to 15 gallons. So it's not a quick answer, but a system from a kind of typical home can water a bunch of fruit trees, a bunch of edibles. It's not going to water an orchard or some larger landscape.
Right.
It's really a good match for a residential size landscape.
Are there businesses that have gray water systems? I mean, it does seem like there are some types of manufacturing or some types of businesses that could water an orchard.
Yeah, and there's many scales of water reuse. And in the home scale, the simple systems, they work really well and they tend to be affordable. There are manufacturers who create gray water systems that are made to purchase, and they usually filter the water so you can send it through a drip irrigation system. Unfiltered gray water is not suitable for a drip. It'll clog it up. And so there are systems you can buy. The cost tends to go up significantly, but it's definitely possible. And when you get to the larger scale, like if you're getting to big buildings or shared water, then the reuse is probably going to be combined. So it won't necessarily be gray water anymore. It might be a reuse system that's going to clean all of the wastewater and use it, sort of like recycling water that wastewater treatment plants do, but on a smaller scale.
So I know you're going to be talking about some of the California plumbing codes around gray water and Humboldt County's gray water policy. Can you tell us a bit about what those policies and codes are?
Sure. So there's a state code that regulates gray water for everywhere in the state. And then Humboldt County had in the past kind of other policies that have now been updated to just match with the state policy. And we're very lucky in California that we have a pretty friendly gray water code. It's very friendly when it comes to a single family home with a washing machine. You don't actually even need a permit. You need to follow guidelines that are to based on health, human health and environmental health and safety, and they're very reasonable, easy to comply with. And in the workshop, we're going to go through all those and build a code compliant system that doesn't actually need to get a permit or anyone to come and check on it, and it's still legal. And then when you get into other systems where you're actually changing your plumbing, like you have to cut into your pipes and divert the water and redirect it, then many places would want to see a plumbing permit. And the state code is sort of vague about is it actually required or not. But most places, when you change your plumbing, you do need a plumbing permit. So,
and that would be for diverting the gray water from your shower and your bathroom sinks and tubs and dishwashers and things like that.
Exactly. And in California, actually, dishwashers are a little different. They, along with kitchen sinks, are not currently classified as gray water, so it would be much harder to get permission to use that,
is that
source
right?
of water.
Why is that?
That's a great question. It's a kind of a legacy law, and this is my take on it. There is more grease and food particles and right. things that makes the water harder to manage from a logistical standpoint. But there have been people have said, oh, it could be dangerous, there could be harmful pathogens in it. But those would be coming from the food, like washing a raw chicken, for example.
Right.
And then that begs the question, well, is it more dangerous to have that in your home, like on your hands, you're washing the raw chicken, or out subsurface in your landscape? So in reality, it's not a more dangerous source of water, though it should be managed differently. But it's okay. currently not called gray water, so
yeah.
people should know that.
It's just got more grease and
yeah.
big particles and things like that.
Yeah.
So for cities that are handling the water and sewer for the residents, are they supportive of having this water that would normally go into the sewer being diverted? Is it helpful for the city so they don't have to manage this water?
Yeah, it can be very helpful to reduce flows. People on the small scale can benefit from septics that are overloaded, from removing some of that water going into an overloaded septic. And on the city side, it can also be a benefit. The reason it's not like 100% beneficial is because in the winter when it's raining, most people are not going to be sending
right.
it out. So they're yeah. still going to need to be able to treat all their water from the winter time.
So basically in the summertime when you want to irrigate your garden, you divert your washing machine water. And then in the wintertime, a lot of people turn that off so they're not kind of flooding their...
Exactly. It's helpful from a supply side because when our needs, our water consumption goes way up in the summer because not only are we using the water in the home, we're irrigating, and gray water is going to offset that irrigation demand.
So on Saturday at this workshop, it's a 4-hour workshop at a private residence in Bayside. So if you want to register, you go to calsalmon.org. But can you tell us about the gray water system installation that people are actually going to be getting hands-on experience with on Saturday?
Yeah, so the workshop will start with a presentation about all the different kinds of gray water systems, focusing on what's appropriate at the residential scale. And we'll talk about soaps, you know, what are the good soaps to use, how do you design the system, sort of the basic info that you'll need for any kind of gray water system. And then we'll shift to just focus on this one kind, the laundry to landscape, and that's what we'll build. So we'll be in small groups. We'll break the group up. So, and one group will work on the inside plumbing portion. The other group will work on the outside irrigation portion. And we'll switch the groups so everyone who comes gets to see all the aspects. But it'll be small enough where people will get to have their hands on a tool if they want to. It's all abilities are welcome to come. If you want to dig a mulch basin, which is what we do in the landscape, you can do a little digging. I'll show you how to cut the tubing and put the outlets, so we'll direct gray water to specific plants. And then we'll get to do the testing of the system and pretty much finish it all up. So at the end of the workshop, there'll be a finalized gray water system.
That is so exciting. So I have friends who've done this before in their home, and they did tell me about this mulch basin, right? So that's kind of like this filtration pool or stream or whatever that can you talk a little bit about, just briefly, like once it comes out of your washing machine, like where does the water go before it gets to your fruit trees.
Mm-hmm. So imagine you have a fruit tree and that's going to be part of your system. You'll, in the drip line of the tree, that's where the branches end. That's the best place to irrigate. Most of the roots are in that area that uptake water. We'll create what's called a mulch basin. So it's a shallow basin, so remove some soil and then fill it with wood chips. And that acts as a filter, but it's in the ground. So it's a kind of filter that you're not going to have to be cleaning on your Saturday off. It's a kind of a naturally regenerating system. So over time, the wood chips will turn into compost and you'll add more, but that's basically the filtration that happens. And so the gray water will come and land in those wood chips. The particles in it, the lint and dirt, will stick to the wood chips and the water will be able to soak through into the soil. If you're discharging gray, unfiltered gray water just on top of the soil, over time it clogs the soil up and then you have infiltration problems. It will smell bad. It'll get anaerobic. And you're not allowed to have puddles of gray water for a variety of reasons. And it prevents all that from happening. So it's this really simple ecological way to filter the water and give it to the roots of the plants.
What would be the difference, say, if you did you washed your clothes with the right kind of soap, mm-hmm. And sent it out into your garden? Why would that be more problematic and get clogged up more than just water out of the garden hose?
Mm-hmm. So the soaps, and the problem is actually, the clogging is sort of a different issue.
Okay.
The right kind of soaps, we're trying to avoid harmful compounds that are harmful to plants. And there's really only three things you want to avoid. It's salt, so a lot of salts. If you imagine a box of powdered laundry detergent, all that white powder is salt. So those, you can't use powdered detergents. They're too salty, and salt is bad for the plants over time. The other one is boron, which is non-toxic to people, but it's a plant toxin if there's too much. So you can't use detergents that have boron in them. And then chlorine bleach is the third. And that kills the soil microorganisms, and we know we want healthy soil to have healthy plants. So you might need to switch your products or not, depending on what detergent you're using. But just during the time of irrigation, you would use a detergent that's suitable for the plants.
Okay, and you have a book about all of this, too, that you've written. You've written more than one book,
I do,
book,
yeah. This
you?
Is my second book. This one is focused on gray water, and it's a how-to book, so it'll lead you through the design and installation process of the more simple systems, and it'll discuss the more complex ones that, if you are interested, you can know where to go or who to hire to get that installed.
And you'll be signing this book on Saturday.
Yeah.
Laura, we're just about out of time, but I know to get more information about your work, you suggest going to Gray Water Action.
GrayWaterAction.org. Yeah, that's a website, and we have a lot of information, including a forum. If people have technical questions, we'll help you with those.
Okay, great. And then if you want to go to this Laundry to Landscape hands-on gray water workshop on Saturday, July 22nd in Bayside, I believe it's from 1 to 3 or
starts
something.
Starts at 11.
Like. So 11.
Yeah,
11
go to Cal Salmon. Yeah. You'll see the...
Yeah, that's at calsalmon.org, and you have to register, and there's a fee. But it sounds very educational. Laura Allen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.